Dearest gentle listener, please accept for your delight and delectation my latest tract about who is hatched, matched and dispatched and who is just screwing around in high society. The upper class cattle market known as the Tong is in full swing and many listeners are intrigued by the antics of the Bridgerton family. Most of the balls are attended by our gracious Queen Charlotte. However, with her towering wigs and elaborate headdresses, does make you wonder if it's her or her husband, King George III, who is next in line for a spell in the funny farm. In my next offering, I would like to delve into the antics of those scurrilous rogues and dissolute rakes known as the Staggering Stories Podcast. So, until then, dear listener, I remain your humble servant, Lady Crumblydown. Welcome, welcome, dear listeners, one and all, to this, the latest in a long line of Staggering Stories podcast. I'm Crumbly.
I'm Jay.
I'm Fake Keith.
I'm Adam.
I'm Jean.
I'm Asterman.
And I, yes, I am...
holding a small dog in your lap. She can bark for herself, can't you, Trixie?
Oh, she's just sitting there staring around, taking in the scenery. Cool. She's cool.
Without further ado.
Yes. Anyway, dear listeners, without further ado... yes, Regency era frolics besides. It's the news with El Presidente.
Woo!
Doctor Who news.
Oh, yeah.
Dugadoo action figure on the way.
Yay!
Character Options, long-time purveyors of Doctor Who action figures, have announced a new collect and build series that includes the legendary Grimbaldian musician Dugadoo. The five sets in the range each come with a part of a dismembered Yeti from the Abominable
Yeti.
Snowman.
Mm-hmm.
The first set of two late Matt Smith era Cybermen comes with a Yeti head. The second set features a 15th Doctor, Shuti Gatwa, with Lux and Dugadoo, plus a Yeti torso. Set 3 has a new 4th Doctor figure with some Yeti legs. Set 4 is Lidge Shaw, a Primord, and a Yeti arm. Set 5 is a Wirren and the other Yeti arm.
So it's not build your own, it's basically just we're going to put a Yeti over 5 or 6 different
exactly.
boxes.
That's why it's called collect and build. Yeah. The set appears one a month from July to November and are exclusive to the Character Options website.
So
we're not going to pick them up for cheap in B&M then.
No.
Oh, boo.
So no Yeti ball then?
Yeah, no control sphere.
No, apparently not. That.
Oh, right. Sorry.
I'm drawn and quartered Yeti.
There are some sets there I'm tempted by. The Lidge Shaw one, that would be quite good. The Inferno pack.
Mm.
Don't know I like the sound, the sound of the Wirren.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe the Cybermen to go with my other Cybermen collection.
So between us, if we all buy a separate pack...
we can have a Yeti.
We can,
well, there's 7 of us here today. 7, dear listener. So we can each have the Yeti one day a week.
Yes. I'm going to have to buy the Chuti Gatwa one just for the Dugadoo.
As long as it's not an equal tiny Dugadoo.
It will be.
It is
it's
quite
going to be a little Dugadoo. It can go on my desk with Peanut and William, my conkers.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Right.
Have a giant Wirren on your desk.
With little feet coming out of the bottom. You see in the picture. You see the fronts of their little feet.
Yeah.
I might just go with a Yeti arm and leave it there, see what they say.
Anyway. Game of Thrones.
Woo.
Film
Ooh.
On the way. Ooh. HBO continues its unnatural obsession with Game of Thrones universe, this time announcing a film of Aragorn's conquest.
Aegon's. Sorry, you will get Game of Thrones right. Aragorn is in Lord of the Rings. Aegon is in Game of Thrones.
It's all the same. They're swinging a sword around and bonking, you know. What the hell?
I know. It's very relaxing.
You get it wrong, you get egg on your face.
Yeah. Or if it was Sir Alwyn of Penny Tree, he'd be swinging something else around.
Yes.
Children?
Aegon's conquest following the early days of House Targaryen,
Targaryen.
Hang on.
I like House Tarragon. It sounds like something out of the Birds.
Sorry, I was distracted because someone was wanting to get down.
Sorry about that, Keith.
Tarragon, as depicted in George R. R. Martin's book Fire and Blood. Warner Brothers have listed it for a 27 and beyond.
2027?
Yeah. Which is hardly surprising.
Sorry,
Trixie likes the sound of this.
Got some Tarragon stuck in there.
She's going to go.
Oh, she's sniffing around.
Right, let's start it again. Warner Brothers have listed it for 2027 and beyond, which is hardly surprising given they haven't started filming it yet. Screenwriting duties have fallen to Beau Willimon. I think I've mangled that.
No, I think it's right.
Known for showrunning the Netflix version of House of Cards as executive producer on Severance and writer on Andor. Hmm. This film will be set furthest back in history so far, going back beyond even House of the Dragon. No doubt more details will soon start to emerge.
Mm. It's not clear if this is going to be on the big screen.
Yeah, no.
But given Warner Brothers were involved...
Yeah?
Well... Maybe?
What is it? Might appear on Paramount.
Oh, well, I'm sure it'd be HBO.
I mean, certainly Warner... Well, Paramount, if Paramount do go through this acquisition of Warner Brothers, they are promising to get more movies, more big screen movies out. So it would suggest this is probably going to be destined to the big screen.
Yeah, it would be good if they do. I don't think they make any difference to the budget. They're pretty massive even for the TV series.
Yeah.
So not only they go chuck even more money, surely. We shall see.
Shuti Gatwa to be a doctor again.
Hooray!
Again?
Mizero and Shuti Gatwa is lined up to receive an honorary doctorate degree from the University of Glasgow for his outstanding contributions to the arts and humanities. This is, of course, not his first doctorate, as he was given one by the Royal Conservatoire of Scotland back in late 2022, in the long gap between his announcement and first on-screen appearance as the 15th Doctor. Glasgow University head honcho Professor Andy Schofield said of this tradition, "Honorary degrees give us the opportunity to recognise individuals whose achievements have had a profound and positive impact within their professions and wider society. Their work embodies values that continue to inspire our community." The degree will be awarded on the 17th of June, so expect to see some photos of Gatwa in a silly hat around that time.
Oh, I'm pleased he's getting it, but I was a little disappointed he wasn't going to be doing more Doctor Who.
Yeah.
For a moment,
good time.
When I first saw it in the news section, incomplete and uploaded, I just thought it was something to do with that CBBS programme, that he was going to come back and do some of that.
Yeah, we haven't heard any more about that, have we, yet?
Yeah.
Not yet.
Maybe sometime this year, towards the end of the year, maybe we'll start to hear cast and things like that.
More info.
And obviously he's back with character options, so...
Yeah, he's back.
And it's about time, too.
Keith, you look like you have something to say.
I have an addendum.
Oh, wow. An addendum?
I have an addendum. As we know, Star Trek Academy is dead, gone.
Oh, indeed,
So we now have an auction. They're auctioning off the bits of prop.
Yes, I heard this, yes.
We have...
they liquidated some of the cast and sell him in little vials.
The combat is
freeze-dried. We have a full-size turbo car, the prop MR machine, a few turbo lifts, the chairs.
If they just take down that entire huge set they had, they could just make the largest
set that they had ever built. Yeah. The first auction, by the time you hear this, is probably going to be over because it finishes on April 24th. But there is a second auction running from April the 22nd to April the 29th.
Okay.
If you are interested, where are we? You need to go to 403auction.com.
What a strange name.
403, isn't that an error message?
I'm not sure what it stands for. What is 403? I'm not sure.
Well, it's a Canadian...
Not far, not found.
It's not the prop store. It's not the prop store. It's a Canadian auction house.
So. Yeah, I was thinking it may be a Canadian area code, but 403 isn't Toronto, so which is where it gets filmed. So I'm not quite sure where that is.
No, don't know.
I've got an addendum.
What's your addendum?
Starship Troopers actor Patrick Muldoon is dead. Age 57. Wow. He had a heart attack.
Right. Who did he play? I can't say I recognise the name.
I don't know. I've got my wrong glasses on, haven't
I? Thought you were going to say Neil Patrick Harris who sang there.
He was an actor and producer known for his role in Starship Troopers and Days of Our Lives. Yeah. Oh, God, he was also in Melrose Place. He played Xander Barclaw in Starship Trooper, the romantic rival of the lead portrayed by Casper Van Dien.
Yeah, I think I know. He was one of the pilots.
Yeah, pilot, yes. Yeah.
That's got far, his brain far too young to be popping off.
Yeah.
I believe Jay has an addendum.
I do. I've got my very first addendum.
Oh, congratulations!
I've broken my addendum cherry. Yeah, okay, so this one's comes via DenoGeek, who were one of the people, organizations out at CinemaCon, which happened last weekend in Vegas. And there's a few other outlets reporting on this, but Avengers Endgame is going to be re-released in September.
Yeah.
And as part of that, director Joe Russo is saying that it's going to have new footage is going to tie into the upcoming Avengers Doomsday. So no details on what this footage actually is, whether it's going to be something in the middle of the movie or whether it's going to be something to do with the end credits, but we've got that to try and...
So when is that due?
So that's getting re-released in September, and Doomsday, I believe, is out in December.
Okay, so I bet it's going to be a short bit of a scene in the end credits, a bit like they did with Captain America 3,
yeah, that's,
wasn't it?
That's the easiest place to put it, certainly. Yeah, I can't remember what was it, the end of Endgame, whether it was one of the Kang things or not, because, of course, Kang is no longer happening due to shenanigans that went on with the actor.
Endgame, there wasn't...
There wasn't a teaser.
There was just the sound of Stark hammering from Iron Man in the cave. There wasn't an actual teaser. There was just
them all signing their names like Star Trek 6.
Yeah.
Mm. Any more addendums?
I have another addendum.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Star Trek auction.
Right. You just said that.
Now, this time around, it's by the prop store. And they are auctioning off Discovery stuff.
Oh, wow. Clear,
uniforms and equipment and the like.
Yeah.
Have they had enough of Star Trek then?
Well, yeah, something we've implied, I haven't said that right, is that they are, or probably have finished tearing down all the sets.
Yeah.
Including the Enterprise.
Yeah, bridge. Including the original Enterprise set. Apparently, they're again in the middle of this Warner Brothers takeover. And what is it? Blue Sky, is it? Or I can't remember. People who own Paramount now.
Skydance.
Thank you. So they're meant to be changing direction. So what this means is
happy
anybody's 60th guess.
Star Trek?
Yeah. Well, it's rather like the 50th of Star Trek.
So. Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah.
Say what you will about Doctor Who, it knows how to celebrate its anniversaries.
Yeah.
Star Trek is always so badly done by.
Really badly done by.
No, but they are selling off Pike's away missions, the Klingon uniforms.
You want a Klingon uniform, don't you?
Basically, if it's not
well,
tied
if it's Discovery
down,
one, probably
selling
not.
It.
Yeah, selling it.
Not a Discovery Klingon, no. Yeah, they're various Star Trek, the Starfleet uniforms are up for sale.
Okay.
Right, while we're on the subject of Star Trek, now, I've recently completed the Lego Enterprise D.
Well done. That's taken a while.
Yeah, it's taken me a couple of months.
Wow.
And, basically the Lego rumour mill is rife with what's going to be next.
Because
Lego universe cares what you're going to build next.
Well, what people are going to buy next. And apparently, it's also the rumour mill says, it's going to be an original Enterprise bridge diorama. Complete with Kirk, Spock, Uhura. So watch the space. It's allegedly sort of due for a release around summer of this year.
Okay. And that's the end of the news.
Listeners, we have been watching a new series that we haven't seen before.
What series is it?
It's called Severance.
Pause for music.
You say new, it's actually, 4 years old now, I think?
There's two series.
It's new for us.
2022.
Look, if some of these satellite channels can put Rising Damp, new series on,
oh, that's true.
We can get away with something four years old.
This, I've watched two episodes of this.
Right.
And I very much doubt I'm going to finish it.
Oh.
Now,
okay.
I found it intriguing. I really did. Yeah. I really enjoyed these two episodes. I'd not seen anything quite like it before.
No.
But I can't stop laughing at inappropriate moments.
I think you meant to. It's a black comedy.
No, this isn't the moments I was meant to be laughing at. And I need to ask our American chums a question.
Right.
Every time they talked about their outies, all I could think of was belly buttons.
Yeah,
this is true.
American chums, is an outie not a belly button?
Yes.
It is. Yeah. You're a Canadian chum.
Well, I also lived in the US for 6 years as well. So.
Why would they do, you know, there were amusing enough things in it without me suddenly imagining belly buttons when they're talking, having a serious talk about his other self living on the other side. So, yes, belly buttons ruined it for me.
That's it. Innies and outies throughout the entire series.
Ooh, yes. Yep.
All over the shop. And almost everyone starring in it is an executive producer somewhere along the line.
Producers and executive producers on there, yeah.
There's quite a lot. Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he directed most of these episodes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically, from what I can gather, Earth sometime in the future, we don't know
near
when.
Near future.
Could be tomorrow.
Yeah.
And there's a company called Lumen, who we don't seem...
Lumen,
whatever. We don't seem to know exactly what it does, just that it involves figures.
Yep.
And people who work for the company agree to be severed, which sounds really aggressive.
It's only some of them agree to be severed.
The people who have been, including our hero, who we understand why, because he'd lost his wife, so he was grieving.
Yeah.
They go to work and they have no memory of their home life. And then when they go home, they have no memory of their work life.
So it's two separate lives.
Two separate lives, which is horrible.
Yeah.
Particularly for those people who are working. They never go home.
Yeah. It is horrifying.
You
literally, just in the blink of an eye, you're back at work as if you haven't rested.
Reminds me of a modern day version of The Prisoner.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Mm. Yeah.
Where they're stuck in that home, so they can't
especially
escape.
The scene in the stairwell.
Yeah.
Yeah, where, what's her name? Helly. She says, you can leave any time. But when she goes through the stairwell, she finds herself back in the passageway again.
Yeah.
It's a recursive occlusion, isn't it? Yeah. Over and over again.
What is it they do for business? Because
we don't know.
It's kind of implied that they're some kind of medical company, or they may have... A large conglomerate of some kind.
Yeah, because you're just seeing them search through numbers and ejecting some out, but you know that's got to be killing somewhere.
That's what we see for Mark's and the crew's macro data refinement department. Yes. I've actually seen the second season. It goes a little bit more into what those numbers might be, but I'm not going to talk about that for this one because we're just talking about the first season.
That's all right, Jay. I'm halfway through season two.
they're told to look for the numbers that are frightening. And it's just numbers.
But they feel emotions with these numbers.
Because it seemed a weird proviso. If there's something like the job they're doing is so horrendous that it would affect them, I kind of understand why a company would do that, not morally, but in terms of the story, or it was a major arms and there's top secrets, so they never want those top secrets to be able to get out. Okay, pharmaceuticals has mileage in it, but not to the point where you would probably invest in whatever it is you need to do to actually do this severance process.
It sounds like the various departments don't have very much interaction with each other.
No. The whole place is backroom offices, so you get
A series of liminal spaces.
Thank you, liminal. Yeah. That's the word I'm looking for. Liminal spaces where you get corridors and corridors and corridors. The office they work in is a massive office, but you've just got four desks right in the centre of it.
And it did feel very much like those backroom videos you see on YouTube, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the design of the sets and everything that goes into it is just so well done.
Yeah.
It's just unsettling in just that right
completely.
Way.
Completely. Yeah. I think that's a good word, actually, unsettling.
Yeah.
The whole thing. And, of course, Mark, our protagonist, at work had a best friend called Petey, who suddenly isn't there anymore. And Petey tracks him down outside work. Of course, Mark doesn't know who he is.
He's gone through some sort of reintegration process.
Petey's been reintegrated.
That's the thing that makes it disturbing. You don't know what the work is, or what they're actually doing with this micro data retrieval and refinement. this other department, was it Optics and Design?
Yeah.
I mean, nobody knows quite what they're doing as well.
At the moment, they're hanging paintings.
Yeah. Hanging paintings and also producing little cards and other things. I mean, there's... you see them with watering cans, and you can kind of guess at these machinery that they're dealing with behind the frontage of all the paintings and stuff, are some kind of 3D printers or whatever, printing, but, goodness knows whatever.
The Grey Lady.
Oh, yes, Cobell.
As I've only watched the two episodes and then started giggling, I don't yet know what her story is, because she's the boss at work and she's his neighbour in the outside world.
Yeah. But she's also the feeding nanny to Mark's sister, so he's teaching Mark's sister how to breastfeed and that. So she's all over the place.
We haven't got that far. Oh, I haven't got that far yet, but
she's definitely keeping an eye on Mark and his family.
She is, unlike the rest of our heroes and protagonists, she's fully connected.
She's not severed yet.
She's not severed. So
there's only really a handful of personnel there, including Cobell, Selvig, and also Milchek, who's the sort of the floor manager, Grainer, who is the security guy, Natalie, who is the sort of PR guy, lady. I mean, you see her doing a news interview first, and then she comes in and she's sort of basically the interface between the faceless board and the rest of the employees.
Certainly like number one.
You certainly get the feeling that Colby is as much...
Cobell.
Sorry, Cobell is as much threatened or part of a cog in the loop as the people beneath her. Because there's certainly that confrontation between her and Natalie when they were talking on the with the board. Mm-hmm. And of course, the board says nothing.
Do we ever find out what happened to his wife? Because we know she died.
Yes,
in season one, you find out a bit more.
Right. Yeah, so towards the end of the season one, we do find that... so Mark has a relationship that he kind of starts up again with one of his wife's friends.
Oh, yes, we've met her.
I mean, they start to have a little bit of a sort of relationship. And in the end, because of his feelings for his wife that he can't let go, that relationship kind of falls apart. And he rips up a photo of his wife to show that I don't care about her anymore. And then later goes and pieces it back together. And we actually see that the wife is, and spoiler music here, is the wellness counsellor, Miss Casey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yes. It is. And those sessions are quite weird, aren't they?
Yes.
The wellness sessions reward you with facts about your outie.
Yeah. And you've got a set of points.
These are facts in heavily double quotes.
Yeah. And you've got a set of points. So if you don't react properly or in the same way, you lose 10 points.
Yeah, you've got to react equally to every point. Yeah.
It sounds like they're the experiment.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
I've got to say, watching it, I'm with Hilly. I would try to screw over whoever put me here.
Yes.
As much as I possibly could.
You wait till you find out who it was.
I know. As I said, and if that person is put them here is me, I'll be attempting to screw myself
and
over.
That was the interesting thing as well. Now going back and rewatching this season as I did, I'm doing for the podcast here, I'm seeing all the clues that that give you who this person is.
It definitely needs more than one watch.
Yes.
I love that sort of thing. That's what I loved about Babylon 5 when I finally watched it.
Yeah, is finally.
25 years isn't that long.
So I still haven't watched it.
There you go.
Gene, sit down. We've got something to show you.
This is like when I watched The Sixth Sense for the first time, and then we watched it again because I was convinced Bruce Willis had actually interacted with people.
Yeah.
And you got all the clues there as well. Yeah. I love that sort of thing.
What was really nice for me is that I was emotionally invested in a way that I wasn't with Starfleet Academy. Yeah. I wasn't bonding with
any of the characters. You can't let it go. You've just got to keep putting the boot in
and raise it again.
But right from the word go, I was watching it in three episodes at a time. That's how I got through so many. So I had to know what's happening there. There was just enough weird things like black tar dripping through the ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And without spoiling the end, the last episode for the season, that the main characters do get to go out into the world as their innies and experience their outies lives. And
that reminds me, did anyone else think the opening credits were very reminiscent of the video for Another Brick in the Wall by Pink Floyd?
It was, and it was it also felt a bit AI. It was just I don't know what it was.
It's that kind of unsettling thing as well.
The uncanniness.
But actually, there was a few bits in the opening credits which I hadn't even noticed before.
Yeah.
So right at the beginning, I mean, the opening credits is basically Mark as his outie, and then also we have this pajamaed innie that's wearing this Lumon lanyard. That's how we know which one is which.
Yeah.
And as one is stumbling forward and the other one is stumbling back, holding the other sword marked in the air, if you look at the footprints are going away as he's stepping over them.
Oh, I never
noticed that the first time I watched it, but I happened to pick it up on this time. I thought, oh, that's interesting. I bear that in mind to bring up.
One thing that made me really uncomfortable was Christopher Walken. At the end of every scene, he just looks, doesn't he? And it's enough to unsettle me every time. You don't quite know what he's thinking or if he's genuine in the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, he is genuinely severed. I mean, we find that out.
Yes.
It's Bert, but, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. Bert. But G is his innie and Bert Goodman is his outie.
Yeah.
But it was so good to see something that is so unlike anything else we've reviewed before.
Yeah, the whole Lumon outfit itself is really a cult.
It's a
cult builder around this one person.
Yeah.
This is all stuff that's in the first season. I know you haven't watched it, but we're talking about the first season. So. Okay, so it's built around this cult of Keir Egan, who has written all these mantras, the handbooks,
maxims,
everything, and it's just all so, as I say, unsettling. Well, it's just that definite word for it.
Something I noticed is that it might have been written after him or about him, but it's something that Bert said, is that I'm a follower of Pamphlet 1. Mm. So obviously the doctrine has changed over time.
Yes. So you can have internal squabbling if you're a follower of Pamphlet 1.
This is it. Apparently, what was it, Owen D? Apparently tried...
And Bert, spoke about...
They tried to overthrow and disembowel some of the departments.
This was just a story that's made up to keep the departments in fear of each other.
There's a level of tension between departments.
They literally think each other is inhuman.
That picture that they showed, which was these of the war between Macrodata Refinement, MDR, and O&D, that changes depending on who's looking at it. So you've got the O&D being the instigators with their yellow lanyards, and then in the stuff that that's the stuff that MDR saw, and then O&D saw Macrodata Ryman with their blue lanyards as being the instigators. Yeah. So it's that setting everyone up against each other.
There's a definite level of tension.
I mean, going back to the original founder of Lumen, he's almost a messiah-like figure. Employees. I mean, all right, I would dare to say sort of like L. Ron Hubbardist, a Scientologist.
And his lineage is all holy.
It's very much, he is a figure that is revered them to the point where Cobell even has a shrine to him in her basement.
This sounds like it's almost like a combination of 1984, that premise of 1984, meets The Prisoner, a little bit of Tesla chucked in there just for reality.
Certainly, that corporate America idea.
Yeah. It is fascinating. It is just so unusual. You should at least give a couple of episodes a go.
Yeah. I'd say watch 3 or 4. It takes a while to really get into it.
It is a slow start, isn't it?
And, I mean, the thing is, one thing I did notice, I mean, working for an American company, what they, you know, would call sort of blue sky thinking and all the terminology that is used, I mean, it's very, it does strike a very resonant chord. I mean,
it does feel like a commentary on corporate America and the way they treat their staff.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking, considering in America you have 4 weeks holiday if you're lucky, and you can't take more than 2 weeks in one go without having sort of like a letter from your doctor, et cetera, et cetera. It's almost like corporate America's perfect idea of the employee. They never go home.
So would you guys recommend this?
Absolutely.
Who was it written by? It wasn't written by Ben Stiller, was it?
No, but he's one of the driving, he's the main driving force behind it.
Created by Dan Erickson, he's the showrunner.
Okay, well, we kind of like this, so we'd like to know what you guys thought of it. Write to us via show
at
staggeringstories.net.
Woohoo!
Okay, recently something amazing happened.
Amazing?
Amazing. Some episodes of Dalek Master Plan found and chucked on the iPlayer.
Ooh.
So we watched them.
We did indeed.
Pause for music. Right, until quite recently, because it was 1 and 3 that were found, wasn't it?
Yes,
I think so, yes.
Episode 2 of Dalek Master Plan was one of the best episodes of Doctor Who ever made. And then they showed episode 1, and it's now also one of the best Doctor Who episodes. Quite frankly, the first 3 episodes of Dalek Master Plan are amazing.
They are. They're quite pacey, aren't they?
They are. They're quite modern in comparison to the era they're set in for the pacing and
particularly
the story.
For a 12-episode epic.
Yeah.
Hang around.
And best of all, although it was tragic, Brian Cant was in it.
Yes.
Just a small bit.
American Chums, Brian Cant was a children's TV presenter in the 70s. If the man had told us to murder our parents and march on Parliament, we would have done, as long as we could have a nap on the way.
Yeah. I thought it was a shame the poem was called Kemble rather than Hamble.
That would have been perfect.
Oh dear. I like the fact that all the special effects work first time.
Oh yeah.
Considering they were mainly done live or played in.
Yeah. I was quite impressed.
The lights were a bit dodgy, the city.
Yeah. I was quite impressed by the interior of the spa, you know, moving lights and digital patterns.
Yeah, because at the time, apparently, there was a lot of trouble. There was complaints from the set designers that a lot of it wasn't being used because they'd made too much.
And it had the brig in it.
And it had Katarina in it.
Yes.
It did.
There's a Nicholas Courtney's first ever Who.
Yeah, after somebody stole the Brigadier's proper first appearance from Web of Fear, which went seriously missing after being found.
Allegedly,
He did do the bemused one eyebrow up. I was going to say,
this Brett Vian chap was very, very, very briggish.
Yeah, he was.
But it's meant to be rugged. James Bondish, but
yeah, but the brig is, isn't he? Mm. You know,
yeah.
not quite so much throwing himself around.
No,
he's a little bit more posher in this than the voice, and that is ever so slightly different. It's a little posher than it is in as the Brigadier.
Maybe
he comes down.
It's not more quite Nick Courtney's voice.
Yeah, yeah. And but there are aspects of the character the same that, you know, even though he's the action hero and he's a soldier, he's gonna you're not dying on my watch kind of scenario. No man's left behind except for the doctor who will chuck the door on him. But there's a lot of the moral aspects of the Brigadier that are in the character.
We had some amazing Billy fluffs, didn't we?
Oh, yes.
Daleks will stop at anything to prevent us.
Yeah, I quite like that one.
I have a toothpick here.
Did you notice how there was lots of close-ups with Dougie Canfield's direction?
Yes.
And every end of scene, they'd zoom in on Hartnell and just scowl at the camera.
Yeah.
Well, so even the Daleks got a few pokes. Eye stalks swiveled around.
He got a little too close to old Marvik Chen, though. Yeah, you see the gauze around his eyes.
And one of the Daleks got too close as well and booted his foot out the way by the control panel. Yeah. And it was quite sweet.
I have to say, I never wish any companion to die, But Katrina, yeah.
She was lovely
and she was innocent. Of she's
yeah, she
time.
Was a handmaiden. She'd but, done nothing.
No, and that's it. But you're so, I think it's because even back then we were getting used to companions coming out of their time stream, but not being stuck mentally in the time stream they came from. About seeing what's around them and realising something has changed. She didn't seem to grow in that way.
I disagree with you there. The fact that she wasn't a screaming heap of jelly in the corner.
Susan
regrets.
Speaks very, very highly of her.
Well, she thought she was on her travels doing her decent.
Exactly,
to heaven.
And she coped with it really well. But there is the argument, and we went forward and watched her death, there is of it. And there is the argument that she knew damn well what she was doing
when
she ejected them both into space.
She had such a languid manner of speaking. I mean, honestly, she'd give Jeffrey Sinclair a run for his money.
I did like all the background shots where you had like model shots with like little fires on Desperus the planet.
Lots of
wigs going on without fleas, hopefully.
While we're on B5, the meeting of the outer galaxies.
Oh yeah,
that reminded me very much of the League of Non-Aligned Worlds in the Council Chamber.
They seem to move quite so strangely in Battle of
That was kind of one of the things that I just couldn't get my head around in that story. Right. Was the fact that they were trying to... Yeah, it's taking it over the whole universe. and the scale was
all over the place.
Yeah.
So was it the solar system they're trying to conquer? Yeah,
the galaxy, the universe.
This was only like the year 4000 or whatever. Really? gone that far, that fast?
Mm. I think the writer thought the galaxy, universe, and solar system were interchangeable.
Terry Nation was Terry Nation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and of course, we also have the fact that there seem to be an awful lot more planets in our solar system than there currently are.
Well, as I said, as we discussed, Pluto had been recalculated. They felt sorry for Pluto, so they recalculated again, and some of the moons of Jupiter and Saturn are now
planets.
Recoalesced after exploding.
Yeah, they probably did.
And apparently mined Uranus for terranium after all that.
Yeah, we were watching this together in our living room, and I tell you something, young Scotland over there giggled sort of prurient chuckle every time they spoke about mining Uranus.
It was the rum.
you did have an awful lot of the rum for my birthday.
Why did one of the delegates look like he was covered in moss?
Because he was.
I thought it was seaweed.
Yeah, well,
which did, and the one well, that the doctor knocked out sort, and yeah. stole mm. The cloak.
Yeah. Yeah.
How did they not notice that he suddenly didn't have really leafy feet and really leafy hands?
They weren't looking.
Yeah. They didn't fall for it on Spyridon, did they? With Pertwee shoes. Yeah.
Did they explain why they took Mavic Chen's ship instead of just using the TARDIS?
Because they knew how to fly
TARDIS,
Mavic Chen.
The TARDIS, I think.
The doctor, in theory, knows how to fly the TARDIS.
Wasn't the forest on fire?
The forest was on fire, and the Daleks were guarding the TARDIS.
Plus, the Doctor at that point could never take the TARDIS anywhere in particular. It was always a random.
And it was all about warning the solar system, the galaxy, the universe.
But, so I'm assuming he gets back at the end of Hellstorm.
Halfway through. Yeah.
It was something that you pointed out, the Black Daleks' reaction when the word Doctor's used.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes. It's very good. Talking of Black Dark, it does feel like a superior version of The Chase, doesn't it? It's like they looked at what they did in that one and went, we can do better. And double the length.
Yeah.
It was so good to see these.
It was.
We found another episode with a huge grain of salt. But, yeah, to be able to sit down and watch iPlayer... First three episodes straight through.
It was so quick, wasn't it? They put it up there.
But word of these two episodes existing has been flying around for about the last 18 months of two years.
Like I said, grain of salt until we actually see them.
Yeah,
we've been fooled before.
There was a lovely, Georgia Tennant put a lovely thing up on Instagram. She's just looking at the camera and in the background you can hear the telly, and it just says, "I've lost my husband to iPlayer," and then you hear the Hartnell theme start, and she just raises an eyebrow.
This is what happens when you marry a Doctor Who fan.
Yeah.
And this was some of the most unlikely episodes to be recovered, wasn't it?
Yes,
it was. But then investigating, they found out there was a middle copy made, which was sort of like a proof recording that they made other recordings from.
But question, are these episodes on any of the Blu-ray box sets yet?
They will be, they're not yet.
Not yet.
I mean, because there is talk about doing a hybridised version, the original film footage, and then maybe sort of animated
They're still missing 7 episodes, aren't they?
And a prequel.
Which they could always use that...
There was that college.
Yeah, the university.
University as an experiment remounted the prequel episode.
I rewatched that recently. It's very good, isn't it?
It is pretty good, yeah. So they could do it, but
With 7 episodes missing, I don't think they would do it as a mixture between live and animation. I think that would jar too much. Mm. One episode in between you might get away with.
They could skip the Christmas episode, couldn't they?
Yeah.
Really?
Audio only.
That's the best!
The first
really
Christmas episode?
Plot.
No. But yeah, it just makes me want to see more, particularly the last couple of episodes. Yeah.
But I think the best you'll get is that they'll come out as an extra on a Blu-ray set in whatever season they next release.
Has season 3 come out yet?
We've got one black and white box.
No, season 2. That was season 2.
Okay, yeah.
Because I can't release season 1 because of the arguments about who wrote and created the Doctor.
Yes.
Well, yes. I don't know what the legal rights are there, because obviously they have rights to release it on DVD already. But anyway, great to see these, and it does open up the door to more turning up, which is the really exciting
thing. You want the eyes on fandom films, don't you?
Because they already know that at least 2 other episodes do exist in private collectors' hands. So if we ever get to see them, potentially those collectors might say, "Tell with you," and burn them. Yeah. But hopefully not. Hopefully someday we will see them. But when, I don't know.
The one thing I did, ignoring the story itself, the one thing I did notice with these two was the quality. Because we have seen recovered stuff before, and the quality or the condition of the tape, the visual, hasn't been that great. This looks like a film copy first print.
It's that sharp
in terms of the actual...
Copy. Yeah.
It's transmittable copy.
Yeah, in terms of the quality of the image, disregarding anything else, the actual image itself was really sharp.
I have seen some side-by-side pictures of the original, though. They did do a fair bit of cleanup.
Yeah, and that's what we noticed when we were watching it, wasn't it? Yeah. That the quality lowered with episode 2 that was discovered a while ago. You had a lot of dirt on the film.
I don't think they've done the same cleanup that they've done with episodes 1 and 3.
I don't know which of my favourites. The 3 now. I really loved episode 2, but there's some really great stuff, particularly with Hartnell wig, you know, it's implied that he's been beaten up by the Brigadier, but
Brett with one
Brett
TV.
Vian.
Okay, anything else?
No, it's too amazing to say anything.
I just want to say that people are really excited about this because there are no telesnaps.
No. Yeah. Mm.
So a lot of this stuff has not been seen since it was first broadcast at all.
Yeah, all you've got is audio and that's
or
it.
Or Loose Cannon.
Yeah.
Maybe Loose Cannon can get together and use these new episodes to...
To help bolster out later ones. Although they do go in different directions, don't they? Somewhat, so it's harder
and
to
I
do.
I think where you have is the audio and that. Sometimes a mystique comes about, the stories about how wonderful they are and all the rest of it. And actually, in many respects, these ones too have lived up to that.
I have to say, the audios for 1, 2 and 3 actually feel quite slow on their own, but with the visuals they feel a lot pacier.
I'd love to see Marco Polo. None of that exists. But I wonder if I like the sound of the story more than I would actually like the story if ever I saw it.
Yeah.
But this one hasn't proved to be that kind of situation, I think, for a lot of, because of the pacing, and
definitely
the writing and that kind of stuff.
Good find,
And I think also there is an element of, because it has got the Brigadier, I know it's not the Brigadier, but we have got Nick in it, so there's an element of fandom automatically having a soft spot for the story as well.
And also, Kevin Stoney eating the scenery.
Yeah, Kevin Stoney Jamie Packer. But also, it's quite an important Daleks, really, in that this is the first time Daleks are really seen as an empire, I think.
Yeah.
Mm. In the Daleks, they were just in their little city. In Dalek Invasion Earth, they were invading Earth, but beyond that...
They're quite vicious to even the other Daleks that fail on the missions, aren't they?
Yeah.
They leave them there stranded, or they blow up the ships. Yeah.
And then, obviously, in the chase, they're chasing the Doctor, so what? But here, they feel like they are a big, mighty empire.
Okay, we would like to know what everyone else thinks of episodes 1 and 3 of Dalek Master Plan. You'll know it on iPlayer. It's the freaking brilliant one. Watch it.
Time lash.
Then write to us via show.
At
Staggering
Stories.
Net. Woohoo.
That's the Kill Bill theme tune, isn't it?
Oh, speaking of Bill...
And there's a lot of hats over there in that corner.
Yeah, he's disappearing under hats.
Yes. 1, 2, 3...
Hello, Head of Pertwee!
And your many hats.
And handles.
Dave Zilla the Mighty.
Dinky McSquirtalot.
Handles.
Rinky
Various.
Liam! Terence!
Grunhilde Trixie!
Dangerous Churchill! Nazi Spock!
The Various Goats!
The Coke on the Floor!
Nebulas.
And a partridge in a... Yes, we've done that.
And a goat with one eye bigger than the other.
Do we have any feedback?
I don't believe we do.
Again? People.
They've stopped listening to us.
They have. We might as well pack it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just let us know you're still alive, folks.
Tom Baker, let us know you're still alive.
Lead us out, Crumbly.
And so, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of another podcast.
Woo-hoo!
But never fear, in the next one, there'll be more of the same, more fun frivolity and jollity, more news and reviews, more whoolden new. So until that...
D for Dalek.
Disastrous.
Dazzling, daring, death-defyingly dull.
Dalliance comes daring. Dangling deliciously.
Diabolically.
This is me, Crumbly, saying, pitying you.
Cheerio.
Farewell.
Goodbye.
Au revoir.
Goodbye.
This isn't life in the fast lane. It's life in the oncoming traffic.
You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, series 1, number 496, featuring Adam Purcell, Andy Simpkins, Fake Keith, Gene Riddler, Jay, Scott Fuller, and the real Keith Dunn, and Trixie. The views expressed here are those of the speakers and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers or the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this has been an El Presidente and Fake Keith production for www.staggeringstories.net.
Oh.
Oh no.
Ow.
Ow.
Oh.
Do you mind? If we get started, I won't be here forever.
Look at me as I hurl my drink upon the floor.
Nice refreshing bar.
You bastards didn't start when I told you to, so we will never start.
We need a larger lounge.
Sorry, I ruined it for you.
By joining you. Show up and join in. Bastard. It's handy to have more people for when me and Jean have to work and Scott just can't be bothered.
She insisted on getting on her knees.
Dude! Would you like me to strike him a blow?
From where I'm sitting, that looks... That...
Jean? Would you like me to strike him a blow?
Yes, please.
Come here, Scott. Come here. Come on, come over here. I won't hurt you.
Much.
Feel the back of my hand.
Feel it?
Yes. That's what his mum and my mum used to say.
I think
if you're not careful, you'll feel the back of my hand.
Feel it.
Is that better, pup?
Are we recording this?
Yes.
Oh, well. It's quite an outcome.
Jean has spilled Coke. She did not mean to, and she's upset about it. Don't be upset. These things happen. Oh. She wasn't upset when she hurled scalding coffee over me, was she?
I know you're not supposed to cry over spilt milk. What are you supposed to do over a spilt Coke?
Is there a chance you can grab me a glass of water? Thank you. Since I have no Coke to drink.
That's because she... felt it on the floor.
That's because the lid came off while I was holding it.
And now, for a drink obviously, it's going to be a bit damp, so Adam will require sexual favours to make up for it.
And it's your fault.
Why is it her fault?
Because Mummy said, can you make room for her?
Yeah, make room for that. Yes, I'll pour my Coke on the floor here.
So
that'll
I was
do
moving
it.
The Coke to put something down that side.
So it's my fault.
Is that the worst of the fluids that's been spilled in this car?
Well, I always remember the time when Keith had the great coffee explosion.
Ah, yes.
Oh, so from where I was sitting, it's quite spectacular, actually. About what is...
Yep. Can't read your own handwriting.
What is my own handwriting?
Yeah, right, I can't read my own handwriting. Yeah, right, and sort of suitable Regency era, yeah, sprightly Regency era music in the background.
Just watch Bridgerton, you'll find out.
No, I have to.
The first set of two late Matt Smith ear Cybermen comes with a... I said ear.
You did.
Yeah. Ear.
It's all right. Come here. Come here. We were so daft. Daft.
Sorry, Karen.
I will pick you up if you come here.
Dear listener, Karen is trying to currently, quietly, wrangle her dog.
Suddenly.
Into a corner so she can pick her up.
I'm so glad that Crumbly took over the reading there, because I was going to do it. Apart from the tablet freezing, I was trying to hold back the laughter from Trix laughing.
She's not afraid of anything. She's just trying to find somewhere comfy to be. Yeah.
Why are people so bony?
That took a long time.
Well, there was travesty, excitement, coke
really
spinning,
wild
dogs running wild, cats
snuggled.
And dogs living together.
She's snuggled.